Praise God. Well, tonight, we're back into our teaching on the life of Christ. We were looking last week, and again, in this week, we'll be going into talking about the parable of the sower itself. And it is really good to go over these things because Jesus gave us specific things. He named specific things that would cause the Word of God not to produce in us. So they ought to be things that we ought to look for in our life, things that we should see, you know. And because sometimes people are wondering, you know, they're struggling in their faith. They need to stop and look at these things and say, what about these areas that here that Jesus said? Do I have some of them? Am I yielding to some of this? Is why it's not working? Because lots of times when people are just, you know, they're looking at the things about the Bible as being mystical, and it's not mystical. It's a wonderful revelation of God, but, you know, if there's a lot of it that's very practical when you look at it. And so we looked at last week, we found out that Jesus, mainly he said, revealed in the parable of the sower, that the seed is the Word of God. So when we're talking about what the seed he was talking about is planted, and it was planted in the hearts of people, and we found out that it gets planted in hearts of people, but Satan comes and steals it. So, you know, some people think, well, you know, you got in your heart, you know, the devil can't take it. Yes, he can. He can talk you in to getting rid of the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't produce anything. And then we looked at the fact that he's talking about people in stony ground, and they didn't have any depth in themselves. In other words, and we dealt with the things and looked at some of the things that really keep us from getting into depth. And some of those things that we talked about, that's what happens is the person who on stony ground, they aren't rooted. They're mostly stony. They're not made themselves good ground. And we need to understand this. It has to do with us. In a sense, a person can be sort of hard-hearted about the word. You know, some people, you know, in fact, I watch people sometimes that get saved. They're skeptical about everything. You know, they're skeptics. And it's very hard for them to develop in anything. And a person has to watch that. Now, he says they only endure for a short period of time, which in fact deals with to endure means to carry out through despite hardship. So, in other words, we need to understand this. You've got to be a person. And one of the things I was talking to someone about that today, dealing with people, because sometimes the way people are raised, the Lord dealt with me in that sometimes, people come out of backgrounds where very unstable families, where they don't, nobody stands on nothing. You know, the parents don't keep the word or things on stuff, and they're raised like that. They're very shallow people. They're easily moved off of something. You know, they see something, the person who was shallow, he was excited about the word when he saw it. But when you find out it takes a little work, that's another story. And one of the things, and I was always thankful the fact, and the Lord dealt with me on it, the fact my parents weren't perfect, but there's wonderful things that they put into us. And one of those things was, when you stay with something, you know, you work through it. When you come to discomfort with something, you don't go leave it right away. A lot of people, that's the way they are. As soon as they get something they can discomfort them, they get away from it. They want to get away from it. They want to deal with things sometimes that are difficult. And you're going to find out in life sometimes and things that you're learning that would really benefit you, sometimes can be difficult to go through and learn. And so, but you have to learn to do that. They're always, you know, one of the things, I do not believe in making education easy. Because if you make education easy, you're going to have shallow education, you're going to have people don't know much. You know, if you teach, like, say, math or something like that shallowly, you're not going to go into any depth in anything. And this is what we've tried to do today. You know, we have to find out, some people are going to get on it and they're going to get in to do it and do whatever. Some people are not. Is what the Lord told me through a prophet when I was a young Christian, which was very helpful because I was teaching, I was in a church, and I was asked to teach the adult Sunday school class, and I'm a lot younger than what most of them are in the Lord. And the Lord told me, I didn't want to take the teaching job, I didn't want to do it, and the Lord said to me, you take it. Well, I found out that a lot of people didn't like what was taught. And because they had all their religious ideas. And you could stand up and tell them what the Bible said, and they'd still, you know, well, we believe it's this way, you know, we believe it's like this, and say, well, the Bible says that. And you say, you don't believe the Bible? Oh, yeah, yeah, we believe the Bible. You know, but really, they didn't. But the prophet said to me, he said, I see you're a teacher of God. And he said, you're standing in a loaf of bread and you hand it out to people. And he said, some say it's too hard. Some say it's dry. Some say it has too many seeds. And he said, there's others take it and eat it up. He said, they even throw it back at you. He says, take it and give it to the people who want it. And this is what we need to learn even in our school educations. Quit trying to teach the ones who don't want it. We waste so much time with them, we can't take the ones that want it as far as they can go. We're trying to always spend all of our time, and we need to watch that. You know, it's like they're saying, you know, the grease, the squeaky wheel gets all the oil. That's America. The squeaky wheel gets all the oil. We spend all of our time on the people that won't work, people that don't do things. We're spending all of our money on them. We're trying to take these people along, and they're not going to do anything.
Amen.
You can't do that. You offer them. You can offer them to go along, but you can't give them a free ride.
Amen. Preach.
You got to tell them, you got to do something. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Because see, you're not used to doing anything. If you want to succeed, you're going to have to do something. And we want to do that. Even with ourselves, you know. It's easy. You know, we all deal with the thing sometimes. It's something we don't, yeah. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have, but you know, it comes down to it, nah, you need to do it. This is what we need to do. So just grin and bear it. That's what you do, you know. This is what we're going to do. Everybody's looking in life, and I've had over times that people came to our church over time, and they said, you know, they needed help, and I asked about a job. Well, I haven't found a job I like yet. I said, I haven't either. So I guess I said, are you going to take care of me? You know, I don't get any job you don't like. I said, well, how do you like eating? I said, because you ain't getting no money from me. If you ain't going to do nothing, don't ask me. I mean, it'll be real straight. If you're waiting to find something in life, then I'm looking for the perfect job. Said, I don't know. Maybe that's in heaven somewhere. I don't know. I didn't know there was one here like that. You know, you hear these lies. People say, if you really love the job you're on, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, what kind of job are you working? I want to know what that is. There's no job that you're going to like everything. And anybody says they like everything, they're a liar.
Amen.
They're a liar. Don't you ever believe that. Anytime somebody says something dumb like that, you go on that job and you're going to find out there's a lot you don't like. But this is what we do. Here's what we do. This is it. You know? You know, I remember working at H.B. Race Candy Company. You know, I was running ovens. You know, they stand on the front end, you're working the things, 500 degrees. And they're open in the front, and you're up around. Oh, man, that's just wonderful. I'm going to tell you what. That's just exciting. Then you got to clean those things. Oh, man. They were murder. But, you know, I like the money. So you put up with some things because the money was good. You know, you had money. I like money in my pocket. I don't know about you. You know. So you do what you do. And this is dealing with those people. You're going to have, these are people who won't do it. As soon as trouble comes along, Jesus said, tribulation, it's just trouble. Something comes around, there's a problem. You know, they quit. Any kind of persecution, especially from the Christian standpoint, you're going to be running into people that don't like Christianity, give you a hard time for it. Hey, that's life. Well, there's people don't like people that haven't done anything religious. They just don't like you because you're doing something they don't like. I mean, it's just, that's life. You can't bail out of life. So things come along. He said temptations. He talked about they stumble, they stagger over things that hinder them. They ended up falling away. Now tonight, we'll look at the areas where Jesus said are thorns. And so I'm going to read through you what the different Matthew said. Matthew in the 13th chapter, we're going to read there first. What Jesus said, Matthew wrote down. He said, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Mark 4:18, Mark said this, just write it down, we're looking at Mark 4:18. Mark said, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. and the cares of the world, again, the deceitful, again, the riches, he says, and the desire for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, in Luke, the 8th chapter, in verse 14, Luke 8, 14, Luke says this, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they hear the word, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." So people can get a hold of the word, and the word in them, it'll start to grow. I don't know if you're familiar with farming. You know, Jesus used this because of farming. You know, now when I was a kid, today they go out, you know, and they plant stuff, it starts to grow. They go out and spray the fields with insecticide and kill the weeds off of it. In those days, we had cultivators. That's what they used. They used to go out and cultivate in the field. They didn't spray the fields. They didn't spray the corn. They had on the tractor a cultivator fit underneath the tractor, and you'd drive down through the rows of corn back and forth through them to dig out any of the weeds and stuff that were in between. Because there's one thing about it, and you always look at it. Weeds, do you ever notice, grow faster than the other stuff? I don't care what you do. You know, you go out in the springtime, you'll notice this about grass. In the spring, early spring, grass comes up very quick. The weeds don't. But about mid-May, the weeds start. To the end of the May, the weeds are starting to kill off the grass. So everybody go out and look around and see where there's weeds at. Like you take a dandelion. A dandelion will turn around, grow, and it spreads itself out. So it kills any grass that's underneath of it. It doesn't get any sunshine. Grass has roots about so deep. Dandelion, it will go down through. So it gets a lot of moisture, gets a lot of nutrition by going down in there deep, and it grows, and actually will kill the grass off. See, a lot of weeds do that. They'll choke the grass off. You want the grass, but weeds will choke the grass. Well, it's the same thing here. These things will choke the word of God that you have in you and keep it from coming to fruit. Oh, it'll start growing up some, and you'll get excited. Here's what people have. They'll turn around and be walking by faith, but they'll let things enter in, and this is what happens. They're believing right, but it never comes to fruition, never comes to fruit, never produces. And they'll say, well, I believe in God. Yes, but you got things in you that are choking it from coming to fruition. Now, we're going to find, he told us what these things were. So he said the care, he made the statement about here. These storms, they hear the word. He says the cares of this world. Now, when he's talking about the cares of this world, he's talking about the world system, which is under Satan. The cares of this world. What does the world love? And what does the world like? And what does it do? See, you can get that on you. You walk around the world, hang around people. If you don't watch yourself, all of a sudden you're taking on what they like. Their cares, what they're worried about. We, you know, it's really from a Christianity standpoint, we keep trying to fix all their problems. Well, they ain't going to come to Jesus. I'm sorry, you ain't fixing their problems. We're trying to take care of them. We're trying to do, and what happens, even ministry can become a care of the world. And it keeps you from producing fruit in your life. Because what it happens does, those cares, they wait on you. They're like a weight hanging on you. And after a while, you're into worry. Oh man, you're worrying about their problems. You're worrying about their stuff. What's going to happen to them? Well, you know, I'm glad God doesn't do that. God's not a worrier. We'd be in a lot of trouble if he was. You know what? If you don't follow God, he don't lose no sleep. He gives you every opportunity. He will move on you. But he can't sit and worry about you. He can't do that. He can't tell you you're not allowed to, and he does. Now, he cares. Now, he made the statement about the deceitfulness of riches. You need to understand about the power of money. It is powerful in our nation. You can tell this. As soon as we have prices go up, my God, we're all going to die. That's him.
Yeah.
People will vote for anybody who's a heathen, crazy as what, who promises to take care of them financially. This is what we're having. Look at New York. They want to be socialists. These socialists can't do it. But you know what? Oh, we have problems, and they say they're going to take care of them. And it's about money. That's what it is. Socialism is about money. It's about, we're going to give you money, take care of you, and we ain't going to do nothing. We're going to take from that rich guy out here. Oh, that's good. We need to take that rich guy's money. Yes, we need to do that. And you give them some money, you won't take some of theirs. Well, no, you won't take my money. And it comes down through it. Money is very deceitful. The Bible says the love of it is the root of all evil, and there's loads of love of it.
Amen.
This is why you want to develop spiritually, so you don't get that on you, because I'm going to tell you what, it's a spiritual killer.
Amen.
It is a spiritual, it is deceitful, it says. It's a deceitful thing. Riches can be very deceiving. They make people feel secure when they're not. Everything's all right when you're not. I mean, we sit in our nation. Money has driven us to, what is it, $34 trillion now or some $34, $35 trillion of debt? I mean, it's a money they don't even think about it anymore because it's so far out there. That's the debt. Now, that's a nation's debt. Talk about the debt of the people. Talk about people's debt. How much debt they have. We're talking about loads and loads of debt. All of this stuff is taking place. Number one, we're redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
We shouldn't be debt-ridden people.
Amen.
We shouldn't be. We're redeemed from poverty. We need to, people need to get thinking. How far are we? What are we going to do? See, there's a freedom. There's the deceitfulness. If I get money, then I'm okay. And if I have money, but how do I get it? I have it because I borrowed it all. But you know, I can't really pay. I'm paying on it. I'm just trying to cover some interest. Not even, I can't, like, you know, I always think it's funny because, see, Wanda and I, we put all of our, most all of our bills and everything is paid on a credit card each month, and then we pay it all at the end. So we have thousands of dollars on there that is put on each month that we pay off. So we have everything goes on and all of our bills and everything that come in, they all get paid off on there, and then we unload it. But like, it really cracks me up because, I mean, you have $3,000 on the thing and the minimum payment's $30.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't the interest. They said, that's how far low you can pay. It's like, what? So then they have this thing in there. It tells you how long it would take you if you did that to pay off your loan. Oh, you'd be off of Jesus and your family will be paying. Let me tell you, at least for the next 30 years that you're gone. So, but see, that is the deceitfulness of money. Many people, money is very deceiving to them. Lots of people shouldn't have credit cards. Lots of people shouldn't have them. Because they just cannot handle it. They just can't do it. They get bent out with them, and they're buying things that they can't afford to have, and they're staying. Why? That's the deceitfulness of riches. And what happens? The devil gets you over into that, and he puts stress on your life where you can't afford to pay for what you got, and you're just, you're, like you people say, I'm living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, Wanda and I started there, and we got saved, and our salvation got us out of that. And you want to come out of that where you're not living from paycheck to paycheck, because a huge part of America is. And they just, you'd be surprised. People live in nice homes, all kind of stuff. It ain't theirs. Somebody else owns it. And I tell you what, they get in trouble and can't go to work for a while, it's gone. It's gone. And the devil's doing all he can to make sure that that's going to happen.
Amen.
But what happens? This thing's coming. What happens? The deceitfulness of riches gets you into worry and everything else. And I tell you, you can go off all the things of trying to believe the word. It won't work. It won't work. Jesus is trying to tell us this. These things that choke the word, that the word won't produce. See, you can't be bound in that and get the word to work for you. You got to get out of this stuff. You got to bring a halt to it and say, hey, hold it. Let's change the direction we're going here. And so, we need to, money can be a very, very deceitful thing. Well, he said, he went on to say about desires, he also mentioned desires for other things, and desires are this, it's a strong hope or wish for what promises enjoyment or pleasure, and which you can deal with that from the standpoint of being good, but he's not dealing with this from a being good. He's talking about pleasures. These things are lust of the flesh. These things are desires for things. Have a greater desire for something more than you have a desire to walk in the Word. The more that you have the desire to see the Word produce in your life. These are the things he's talking about. He also mentioned pleasures. They use the word pleasures and their desires for particular things or activities. Things that you enjoy. There's pleasures. The things that bring you pleasure. Sometimes what you need to do might not bring you pleasure, but it needs to be done. We're talking about that. It just needs to be done. There's a payoff to it. You know, I would just, you know, when I was an alcoholic, I went to work every day. And I worked every day. I did work. I mean, I didn't go to work. I went to work. And all these people going to work and, it's a drudgery to go to work every day. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you needed money in your pocket to pay your bills, I just thought you ought to be honest. I mean, Wanda and I, we were even sinners. We always paid our bills. We always, you know, we did not pay, never one time. I have a credit card that I have for over 40 years. Have never once missed a payment. They always say, they said, you're just extraordinary. They said, you don't have one mark against you in anything. You've always paid everything, you always do. When we were sinners, we always paid. See, I don't believe, we have a plan, we want to go somewhere. You have to have a good time, you know. We need a break, and so we're not going to pay this bill. If you do that, you're a heathen. Let me be just honest. You do that kind of thing, you know what Wanda and I do? We pay the bill and figure out how we're going to do the other stuff.
That's right.
And that's what we did as sinners. So I don't believe saints, and they'll say, well, you must have had a lot of money. No, we didn't have a lot of money. We did a lot of things. You know, we just had one car. We did what we did, worked out how we could work things out. But we didn't cheat nobody out of something.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, that's a lost art in the American church. You know how many times I've had Christians tell me things that they did instead of paying their bill? And they have enough nerve to walk up and ask to get healing. You wonder why they don't get healed. Dear Lord. You ain't going to be a liar and a cheat and God healing you. What's he going to heal you so you take off work or something? So you can cheat somebody? Yeah, man, I'm going to heal you so you can cheat some more people. Yeah, no, we got. See, people don't like this stuff. We need to be strong about these things and saying these things about what it really is. It's not a problem. It's downright evil sin.
Amen.
Because if you do it, hopefully people will do that to you. I pray that you will receive what you're sowing so you can get the great enjoyment and pleasure like you got. Say, so, yeah, we're not going to pay you because we want to have a good time. But I need the money, tough. See, I personally, as I always look like at my parents, my dad never earned a big salary or anything, but, you know, when my parents came down the areas and when they retired and stuff, they could always take care of themselves very well and everything was good. And it was one thing, I believe that their honesty and things about stuff is why they got blessed. It wasn't all this so-called faith junk today. God honored their integrity.
Amen.
And that's lost in the church today. And these are the things that he's dealing with here. This is stuff that deals with integrity. And it chokes the word if we don't walk in integrity. If we don't always do right about these things. Always make sure that you do right. Why? So the word produces in your life. And tell people. Be honest with people about things. Talk to them. If people have trouble with money, talk to them straight about it. Ask them what they're doing.
Amen.
Oh, I always do this all the time, people. I get calls all the time. Somebody that wants help. I ask them about their money, what they're doing, and that's the first thing they don't want to tell you about. I don't want to tell you about, you know. Well, I didn't know you were going to ask me questions. Well, you shouldn't have called here if you didn't think anybody's going to say anything. Because we were just going to get stupid. They're just going to give you money. So, you know, I ain't an ungodly devil church. We're a real church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You just called. Well, we just hand it out because you need help. But you ask them, they don't want to talk about it. Why? I'm just telling you straight out. Because they know they're doing wrong with it.
Amen. Amen.
If they were doing right about money, they would talk to you. They'd tell you. They're not. This is why they won't talk to you, because they know they're going to have to tell you what a stupid idiot they are. That's why they need Jesus. So you got to tell them. Say, hey man, you know, you need something. Because you ain't got much going upstairs. You need something. You need somebody that knows something, and Jesus does, you know. If you don't know much, do what I did. Take him on. You know, I took the smart guy on, you know. Hallelujah. So you want to stay dumb? Just stay where you are with the devil. You'll stay dumb. You do dumb things. You just ruin your life. And you want the word to produce in you. One of the things it is, there's no point in wasting time trying to get the word in you if you're going to do things to keep it from producing.
Amen.
You know, don't fake yourself. You know, some people do that. They're walking around, they're making confessions, they're doing stuff and things like that, but they aren't doing right stuff. And it's like, why go through it? Why even deceive yourself? Get over the areas to try to deceive yourself that you're doing, you know, I'm doing a good thing. No, I know it's not. You know, it's sort of like, you know, faking like you're going to work, but actually don't show up. You know, you get in the car and you drive there, but you don't actually go in. You know, had good intent. So you want the word to produce in your life. And so Jesus tells us about these things. How I am about, you know, the things of the world. There's a lot of natural things we can do out here. But people are in such excess today. People are in excess like crazy. They just can't do something a little bit. We got to do it a whole bunch. I mean, I just can't believe what I hear. I sometimes read these things of what people pay to go to concerts. And then people talk about money problems.
Come on. Yep. Preach.
Dear God.
Preach.
It's thousands of dollars. There's somebody up there to sing you some songs, to watch some lights and go to stuff, and you just scream and yell around and go home with an empty bottle. And then they'll tell you, I need a new car. But you don't need a new car. You don't need to live on this earth being as stupid as you are. You ought to be thankful every day you can breathe. But you have the intelligence to do that. But you do that. I'm going to tell you what. You realize how many of those people, they put that on cards and they don't pay that off right away. That's added to the other $50,000 they owe.
Amen.
Following the pleasures of the world.
Amen.
And there's one thing about it, having access to a lot of money can get you in a lot of trouble if you're not spiritually inclined.
Amen.
So I've always said before, it'll buy you a lot of sin. You may enjoy it for a time, but it'll come knocking on your door one day.
Amen.
And so, we don't want that one. Now, Jesus went on to say about how is fruit produced? It's getting the seed into your heart. Now, if we deal with all this other stuff, what do I have to do? This doesn't mean you can't have any kind of fun in your life or anything like that. But sort of like anything. It's a great matter of staying away from excesses. Getting yourself over. A lot of people have a lot of things in their lives where we don't realize. In fact, one or two certain things that we have to do all the time, and we have to, our minds on a lot all the time. You got to watch that stuff. Because you get drawn away doing that. Having things out there. Anything from excess, you know. It's like when the Lord told me, you know, concerning I said, you know, dealing in the areas of food. And I said to the Lord about it. I'd asked the Lord about diet because people said about diets and God, you know, gave them this diet and they tried to write books and give it to everybody. That's a little bit. And he said, heaven doesn't have any diet. Heaven only has moderation in all things. See, that's what the scripture said. Oh, apply that to everything in your life. Moderation in all things. Be moderate on all things. Doesn't mean you can enjoy a lot of different things. But don't just go crazy on something and all the time I have to do that. All the time I have to do this. Moderation in all things. I will guarantee you that type of life will keep you out of a lot of trouble of things. And you're going to find your life go along very smoothly in a lot of areas because you're not overtaken into stuff. You don't become easy access and traps for the devil of things. And that's what you want to do. Just moderation in all things. Isn't it interesting? He said all things. You know, the Bible says we're not supposed to follow when it goes to eating. Don't touch, don't taste. See, we're in that in our society and we don't realize that's excess. Or you can eat all you want of this. The Bible says moderation in all things. No, you can't eat all you want of this. They say it's healthy. Don't you listen to those people. That isn't scriptural to do. It's moderation in all things. You know, I don't eat any of this or I don't eat any of that. You know, they're finding out, you know, people say, we cut all sugar out of our diet. And they said, now they found out that people are having gut troubles to do that because they're balanced what do they call that in your stomach for digestion? It needs some sugar for it to work right. See, when people get into excess on stuff, that's why it's follow the Bible, it goes a whole lot better. Follow the Bible. Hallelujah. Why? God wants you to have a nice life and enjoy yourself. He doesn't want you to get in traps. He wants you healthy. He wants you to have enough money. Now, understand, He doesn't want you just to have money that you give all your money away. He wants you to have money that you can do things. You can own nice things and do stuff. He wants you to do that. But even on that side, just because we can afford things, do we want to just keep doing certain things because we can afford it? You see, we need to be careful about things. So we need to do that. And so when we go over, and then Matthew, now we're going to look at Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, where Jesus talks about the good ground. What about this good ground that produces? He says in verse 23 of 13 in Matthew, he said, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it." So first of all, he hears it, he understands it. See, it's not enough to hear the word. You got to understand it. See, this is where the Holy Spirit, the teacher. This is where listening to the Holy Spirit. You have to come to understanding. He said, who indeed bears fruit and produces some, he says, 100-fold and 60 and some 30. Now, he goes in Mark 4. Mark says it this way. In Mark 4, in verse 20, he said, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Luke, in the 8th chapter, in verse 15, says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So he's talking here about, number one, is those ones, is like everybody else, heard the word. Now, he makes some specific statements here about understanding the word, and he talks about accepting it. Let me say this. You know, I thought that was interesting because each one says something a little different. In other words, you can understand something, but do you accept it? Do you accept it as true? You might say, yeah, that's true, but I don't like it. You may not accept it for your life. Well, I've had people do that. I've had people tell me, you know what the word said, but that's not what they're going to do. I know what that says, but I'm not going to do that. I've had people do that. So the word was there. Well, they can't expect to produce fruit, could they? Why? They don't have a good heart. See, a good heart, you need to train yourself. I'm going to tell you, you can train yourself into a good heart. I did that starting when I was a young Christian. You train yourself. It's about what you say. See, I come down through, if the Word of God says it, I believe it, and that's it. There's not something else. I believe it, that's it. I accept that as the truth. Even to the fact, if I don't understand it at the time, it is still the truth. So I must accept that as the truth, whether I understand it or not.
Amen.
See, you train. I started doing that, and you know what? It really helped me build a good heart that could easily accept things of the Word of God. The skeptic is always saying the wrong things, and it's planting wrong seeds in their heart all the time. If they had good soil, it would turn out to be bad soil. See, make your soil good. That's how you do it. You set yourself in these areas. You accept the Word. Then he says then we found out, it was said here, the noble heart, what, to keep it. See, in other words, this, the idea here to keep, it means the idea to keep it, something you protect, something you hold on to. You keep it. You don't let it go. That's what a good heart does. It keeps it. That's what a noble heart is. It keeps it. It's a noble heart. It keeps the Word. So you understand the Word. So what we're searching for? You want to search for understanding. Do you notice that when Jesus told the parable, the people didn't understand it and they left. They weren't good ground, were they? See, they weren't sick. The disciples, after the thing was told, came to him. See, these people are good hearts. I want to understand this, what you're talking about. Tell me what it says. Tell me what, I want to know what it means. You know? It means something, I don't get it. Let me understand what you're saying. And so, if you're in a search for an understanding, God will give it to you. But if you're not in a search, don't expect it to come.
Amen.
You got to search for it. When you understand it, then you have this, a good heart does this, it accepts it, and then keeps it. Except that's true. God's Word says it. That's the truth. This is what I'm going to walk in. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow this. This is what I'm going to follow. This is what I'm going to walk in. And you will produce fruit. Don't ever get into the people who, money preachers, who try to use this stuff is about money. It's not about money. It's about the Word producing in you. It's not dollar bills. There's a lot of people produce dollar bills, and they're not really good believers. They're not good-hearted people. They have lust for money. They're trying to get after everything they see in the Bible about growth. They get some money. Money this. They see money in everything. It's not about money. The first thing you want to develop and grow in is becoming a good disciple. Not a good moneymaker. Because I'll tell you, if you ain't a good disciple, you're going to be an evil moneymaker. You're going to spend the money on your lust and your flesh, and you're going to do whatever it is, and this is what you're going to do. And if you gave a nickel, it's because you felt you're going to make more money. You want to grow up to be pleasing to God. That's what we want to do.
Amen.
We want to grow up to be pleasing to God. That's what we want to do. And we can have money. But that's not the foremost of our thing is getting money. I found this out. When you grow up spiritually, the fact of getting money is not a hard thing to do. See, the whole thing is, it's like with Mom and I growing up. As we grew up, we found out giving was an easy thing to do. We never struggled to give it. We never found out, oh, there's a hard thing to do is giving. Oh, man, I don't know. We didn't even think about that anymore. It was like, this is what we do. We give. This is what we do. Somebody needs something, we just give it. I don't even think about it. I don't think about this thing. We don't even sit down anymore and look at the money we have. Well, this is needed to be done. Let's do this. What a freedom that is. You have to always look at all the money that you have and figure out if I have enough for, 6 months down the road. I don't even think like that anymore. And it's a real blessing because, He has led us to where God can bless us, and we can stay out of debt. We can, there was years of time that I thought, boy, you come the day you could buy a car in cash, and we can do that. You know, we can buy things, and we can do stuff, and it isn't cost. And I'm going to tell you what, there's many people would have the money to do it, but they're so busy hoarding it and doing everything else, and they're trying to say, because when I retire, I'm going to do nothing and just fill myself with the lusts and pleasures of life, and I don't have to do anything. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to make it so I can retire early and have all this money to spend on myself. Woo! That's a good spiritual goal. about it. People talk about it. You know, the guy that was going to build the bigger barns, man, that's American retirement, boy. We're going to build the big barn. So I don't have to trust God when I get down the road. You don't have to believe God because I got all this money, see. I'm going to have to believe God when I'm older because I'm going to have lots of money. You know, we spend it. And you know what we talk about giving? People earn money in those accounts and God can't even get a finger on it. God has no access to it. He can't come and say, I'm going to tell you, God can come to Wanda and ask. So he told me, he said, the reason I always ask you, because he said, you'll always do what I said. See, he quits asking people, and he don't talk. They're going to be in trouble down the road in their life, because they just bypass it. They just bypass it. They just go on. You want a miracle? This is what you're going to have to do. You have to put yourself in the place you need one. We've learned to do that. I don't need a miracle if everything's okay. If I have all the money I need right there and now, and I got all of it, I don't need a miracle. So quit trying to believe in one, you won't get it. It ain't going to happen. Miracles come when you get to the Red Sea and there's a big army there. You're going to eat your lunch. And you got to get across that water. If you ain't going to go down to the water, don't bother. You ain't having a miracle. I ain't going to see it. You're just going back to Egypt. That's all. You know? But it is. It's true. We put ourselves in positions, hallelujah, for God to be able to do something extraordinary to bless us.
Amen.
We do that. And it works. Hallelujah. I just love it because I see it. This is what I stop and do. Man, God takes care of me. Hallelujah. He's so good. I just got a great job. No, I got a great God. I tell you, He takes care of me.
Hallelujah.
See, you'll give glory to who you think is looking after you. Your great investments or your great God. Hallelujah. It's my great God. He's looking after me. You want to walk there in that place. Hallelujah. Well, it helps us to understand some things here. Dealing with this practice, if we're going to look at that, so we decide how effective God's Word works in us. It's us. It deals with us. Jesus told us in this. He went through the thing. It's not the Word, it's the Word. Hey, the Word's wonderful and it's powerful. The Bible tells us the Word's powerful. More powerful than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow. The Word's powerful, but even though it's powerful, that wonderful seed, it has to have ground worthy to grow in.
Amen.
So, who's that? It's us. You know, but the fact that we got born again is a wonderful sign. You know, you got to start off with a clean slate of ground, you know that? When you and I got born again, we had perfect ground in us. No junk in our inner man. Now, what did we do with that? Are we growing weeds in it? You understand this. This perfect ground can grow things. I've watched this. Christians can produce ugly faster than the world because of the ground in them. This ground is something else that's in us. Our new spirits. And I learned this. The Word of God is amazing if you plant it in it because it will produce. Oh, my, will it produce. This ground, we got the ground and the seed. So you protect your ground, not just the seed. You protect your ground. You protect you on the inside, the real you. Don't let junk into it.
Amen.
Don't allow that. We found out Jesus said how we hear, and what we hear is our responsibility. It's our responsibility of what we hear. And then it says, we're always going to hear things that aren't good, things right, people say things and do things, but we select what we take out of it. We select what we receive from it. What do I accept? You know, people can say anything they want. They can do what they want. What I'm accepting. This is what we need to be very careful. And I just want to say this. Even when it comes with ministering the Word, there's times as over the years, I've heard people teach things and stuff, and they're a good minister in their ministry, but there's things that they say, I don't know if it's exactly right or not. You know, I don't just throw it out, but I don't take it just because he says it. And I don't take it just because he said God said it. You know? Does it line up with the principles of the Word of God? Does it line up with them? This is why you want to learn, you want to be good at really the Word, to be able to dissect. And don't be afraid, you know, I've watched this. I've watched people just, some their favorite minister says something and it's called, you know, they're just eating it up. No, there's things you need to stop and you need to go back yourself. There ain't nothing Kenneth Hagin hasn't taught that I haven't restudied numbers and numbers and numbers of times. Why? Because he ain't God. And I got God living in me. I can read and study, and I don't accept it just because he said it. People are too lazy. They're expecting somebody else. No, you take the time to look. How I seek God and the value, his word is what the same measure that I'm going to be rewarded. Whatever measure I give to the word is what is paid back to me. If I measure it, man, this is really good. What I do with it, if I take care of that word, that's what's going to be measured back to me. What's the value that you put on the word of God that you want to produce for you? You know, nobody's going to get 100-fold back on everything they do. You're not going to do that. But there's one thing about it. I've learned areas of belief. I'll tell you, I don't care if I only get 30-fold back. I'll get 30-fold back 30 times.
Yes.
I just keep using that. Over the years, I just keep using that. And I just keep getting back from it and getting back from it.
Amen.
These people, I want to be a once and done. I'm sorry, it don't happen. That's called laziness.
Yeah.
And that'll make a lazy heart not a noble one.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No, you just keep putting the word out there. The word works. You know, yeah. If I can get 30-fold back every week, man, we're doing good. So you want to walk in the light. So understanding that principle, you can understand when Jesus spoke to the disciples in Mark 11 and verse 22, when he spoke to them. We'll go over there, very familiar scriptures we're going to look at. Why Jesus said what he said. See, on these principles here that he talked about to these ones. Now understand this, Jesus had already explained the principles of the parable of the sower to the disciples, because here we have in Mark, you know, Mark in the fourth chapter, tells in the fourth chapter about the parable of the sower. Now we're looking at Mark the 11th chapter. So Jesus has already explained to the disciples about this, and now he's going to make a statement. They still didn't catch this thing, and he's going to make another statement about operating in areas of faith, about the Word of God, about speaking, about using those words. He's number one saying those things. He says in Mark 11, 22, said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. We could say this, to have faith in God's word. That's what it is. Faith in God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We're having faith in God's word. That's what we're doing. We're not having faith in a God. We have faith in God's word. That's our God we serve. Our God, we know him by his word, don't we? That's how we know him. So he said, have faith in God. Then he says, for assuredly I say to you, look, I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. Assuredly, I'm telling you. He said, I'm saying to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. In other words, this is dealing with the heart. See, a good heart, this is a heart that doesn't have doubted. There's no thorn, there's no weeds, there was no stumbling around. This is not a guy who had rocky soil and, you know, the devil came and took it away. This is not a person out here who had shallow and little trouble came and fall apart. They ain't speaking the mountains. That will not work. This is not a person who's full of weeds and stuff in there that choke off the word. This is a person, because he said, you can't have any doubt. See, weeds will bring doubt. That'll bring doubt to you. Weeds, if you cares for it, it'll bring doubt to you about the word producing. It'll bring doubt. He said, you can't have any doubt. Where's that doubt at? He didn't say in your head. It's in your heart, in your spirit. You produce from your spirit, not your mind. Get that about yourself. Many Christians have the faith to produce something and don't produce it because they keep listening to their mind, and their mind keeps talking them out of it, yet the whole time their heart believes it's true and wants to say it, instead they're saying what their mind says. Their heart believes. You need to see. The Word of God will divide between soul and spirit. It will divide between what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your heart. You want to develop and know. You can produce with doubt in your mind. You can't produce with doubt in your heart. But you can with doubt in your mind. See, Lord, lots of times I've done things and my mind has given me a hard time. But I know in my heart I got it. And mine came, you know, oh, this, whoa, what are you doing? Because your flesh is very uncomfortable. Your flesh ain't happy with it. The flesh wants something in the natural to take place, to, you know. And you don't see nothing in the natural taking place. And it's very uncomfortable. But inside, you know the word's true and God will do it. You know it's true. See, you know, I've developed where I can hear God. Thank God. I mean, I don't have as much trouble. My mind don't give me as much trouble. It used to about a lot of things. It don't anymore. Because it found out, this idiot don't listen to me. No use talking to him. It ain't going to work.
Amen.
See, Wanda found out that. They don't do no good talking to him. But when you may become that way. That's the assurity of your heart. This is the person that can talk to the mountain.
Amen.
Yes.
First time I spoke to a storm, I was down in Reading in the street ministry. He's down there. We're down the street. There's some guys that belong to a gang. We're down in one area there. We're on the north side there, and I was over there. We were up there talking to them, and a storm started rolling in. I mean, just really black clouds. I mean, this stuff was really rolling in there. We had on the street, we had this group there was a band, and they were going to play, and then we invited people over there, and we preached to them. So we get them to come down there. We witness the guys and get them to down. So we're talking to these guys, and I saw the storm, and I just, you know, I thought, this thing comes, just wipes this whole thing out. And I thought, God told us to do this. And I thought, this ain't God. This storm ain't God. Couldn't be. Because it's God that's stupid, tells you to go do something, he destroys it. Now, how'd that be good sense? No, that ain't it. So I stopped right there, and I turned around. I guess the guys, I didn't know how the guys around me, I had a bunch of guys from Team Challenge were with me. And I just stopped, and I said, that storm. I said, storm, you ain't coming here in the name of Jesus. We're going to have to go. Now, that sounded crazy. Now, you know what my mind was going on? I'll just tell you what's happening. My mind is saying, they're going to think you nuts. That's my mind. What did you say that for? Now, if it rains, you're going to look like an idiot. You know that? And I thought, well, that ain't the first time. See, I lived 30 years as an idiot. I said all kinds of things that were crazy. But you know what? I just knew in my heart. I knew. You got to make a stand. I just knew inside. You just got to make a stand. Yeah. And I spoke to that storm. And that storm actually split. And part went further north, and the other part went down the south side of town. We had our thing, and nothing happened.
Amen.
And that ain't the last time I talked to weather.
Yep.
I've done that numbers and numbers of times. You know, I just don't go out and talk. You know, when you know, it's like right now in our areas we have a drought. You know, we need rain more than we need picnics. So don't ask me to stop because you want to have a picnic. The rain can come, and the rain comes. If it rains on your picnic, that's good. That's good. That's good. We can use the rain. Because water, when you don't have water, picnics ain't very important. So you got to use your head. You know, you can use your mouth to destroy yourself.
Yep.
You can use the power God gave you against yourself by doing dumb things with it. Look at children of Israel. They use their power to get a kingdom. Don't think these people say, what you can't do if God don't want it. What book have they read? It ain't my Bible.
Right. Amen.
But see, they have a religious God.
Yep.
This religious stuff they call God, but it isn't Bible. But we have these things here. Something John wrote, we'll close with, is in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And it says this, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, dealing with our hearts. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. We're going to read starting at verse 20. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It says, for if our heart condemns us, speaking of our own heart, condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. You see that? If our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever, see, if our heart doesn't condemn us, listen, it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So He didn't just say, well, just make a good confession. If our heart doesn't condemn us, He makes the statements. If we keep His commandments, in other words, we keep what He said. If we keep what God said, He told us, and we do what's pleasing in His sight, our heart won't condemn us. We will have confidence, and what we say is going to come to pass.
Amen.
What we believe, it's going to happen. See, this is the person with a good, noble heart. But he's just not believing the right thing and saying the right things, doing the right things.
Amen.
He puts it right here. What are we doing? How are we acting? Are we tied in the cares of the world? Are we wringing our hands about things, worrying about the future, worrying about this, or what's going to happen to the economy? What about the war going on over there? Don't worry about it. When that one gets fixed, we'll get another one. Don't worry about it. This is going to happen. Don't you ever think it's going to quit? And if you do, you're a knucklehead. You ain't lived 10 minutes. At least pay attention for 10 minutes. Because that's all we've done.
Amen.
And it's all we'll do. Wars and rumors of wars.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, we don't start rumors anymore. We start wars. So your heart doesn't condemn us. Then we have confidence toward God. So you can't have confidence. You need to understand this. Sunday we're going to get over into this some of dealing with Abraham, looking at something here with, about Lot. We're going to find out with people. Don't you think people don't know they're doing evil? Even sinners know they're doing evil. They may lie and say they believe it's all right. Lots of times they are lying. They know it isn't. We'll prove it by Scripture.
Amen.
Don't you think the homosexuals think they're doing right?
That's right.
Don't you even think it?
You're right.
They know it's wrong. But they love evil. And they love something. And they're going to follow it.
Amen.
And so, they're following their father, the devil, is what they're doing. And there's people in all kinds of different sins. And they know that it's sin. They know that it's wrong.
Amen.
And but we have, if you and I, we're confident. So, our motives and desires have to be right. So, but we speak what we believe in our heart with our mouth, and it'll be done. Whatever it is. Say, so, number one is always this. Always be sure that you're walking in love. Make sure you walk in love. Make sure. Don't hold an ill will against people.
Amen.
Don't do that, because if you read on from Mark 11, 23-24, you read, talks about prayer, then it goes on about if you have something against your brother, forgive. See, you need to understand that. For your faith to work, you can't have condemnation in your heart. You can't be holding things against people, no matter what they did. You holding things against them, I will guarantee you, is going to keep your prayer life and your word life from working. You're not going to be able to produce things, and it's going to hurt you. Don't let the devil ever make you think you're getting back at somebody. Don't worry, because you do that, you're going to be getting back at yourself. You're just going to be hurting yourself. Don't do that. Walk in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. You walk in love, you can bring blessing into your life.
Amen.
You can all, yeah, if you walk in love, you can bring blessing into your life. Your conscience won't bother you. Hallelujah. You'll do the word, you'll keep it. Hallelujah. And what you speak and you say, it'll come to pass. What you ask God for, God will do for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can have that confidence. And that's where you want to walk at. You want to walk in that place. There's nothing that you talk about being rich. That's rich. That's a rich. Just think about this. If you're in a position that you can ask God for anything, He'll do it for you. Do you have to worry about what you have at the time? Do you have to worry about things around? Not at all. When I want something, they come to me.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the apostles lived that kind of life. We talk about following after. We don't even know what they did. What would Jesus sent the 12 out, and then He sent the 70 out? Don't take any money with you. Don't do anything. Just don't take nothing. Just go. Don't worry, you can take care of it. Just go. Did you do it on that? No. We have to make sure I get my bank account up and get all this stuff, because I'm Now, I'm telling you just to get up and go, but that's what the Lord told them. And if the Lord tells you, you need to understand this. You need to leave the fear of not having enough. You need to lose that fear, because that's what keeps people where money will drive you. The fear of not having enough. The fear that you got to first have enough, then we can do. And that's what all this ministers and money. We just got to get enough. We got to get all this in and have all this so we can do the will of God. And so, I'm sorry. There's people that are doing the will of God. There's people walking around doing miracles and they got a nickel in the pocket. And there's ministers that got millions, jets and everything else, and they ain't doing no miracles.
Amen.
Money doesn't produce miracles.
Amen.
The children of Israel, I don't care what money, the Egyptians gave them a whole bunch of wealth, and they're standing on the bank of the Red Sea, and did it open the sea for them? Did money send the ship over and pick them up? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Thank you for showing us these things, Lord God. Revealing these things to us and blessing us. Hallelujah. Lord God, giving us wisdom and understanding. Lord God, that we can walk in your word. We can enjoy being your children. Hallelujah. Building confidence in us, Lord God, that you're the one that takes care of us. You're the one that looks after us. And you'll provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Not all our riches, but your riches. Hallelujah. We want your riches in glory, hallelujah, manifested to us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.